warning. The Catholic Man Show contains high levels of manliness. If you think you may be too weak to withstand the manliness represented in the following program, please do yourself a favor and stop listening now. If you choose to continue in spite of this warning, if at any time you feel yourself overcome by the manliness, stop immediately and consult your closest medical professional. And now, for the not so fair, faint, or frilly, we present The Catholic Man Show.
Welcome to the Catholic Man Show. We're on the Lord's team, the winning side, so raise your glass. I'm Adam Minahan, sitting here in studio with the Mr. Humility, David Niles. Dave, great to have you here, and we're not going to have a guest today.
That's right.
It's
just you and me, mano y mano.
Mano y mano. We're dueling it out.
On the field of battle. And today, it is going to be, it's going to be a lot like battle. Not in the fact that there's going to be conflict between us.
Okay.
But who knows? I don't know the future.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough.
I might change my mind in the middle of it all just to hash it out.
Yeah. That would be something you would do.
Maybe. Maybe not.
We've had some great guests on the show recently, though, Dave. We've had a lot of really cool guests. Matt Frad was one. If you guys didn't get a chance to listen to that one, I thought that was a great... In fact, my wife sent us a text message that said, possibly our best show yet.
We've had a lot of those, like the last four or five. A lot of people say, hey, that was my favorite episode.
And it's about time that you step up your game and like really take us to the next level.
It's my humility, dude. It holds me back.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a thing. You should Google it.
Okay, I'll try to Google that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
If this is your first time listening to the Catholic Man Show, Dave, we do three things every episode. I'll let you tell them what that is.
Okay, yeah. So the three things we do are, one, open, review, and enjoy a manly beverage. Two, highlight a man gear of some kind, something every dude has or wants, wishes they had. Because it's awesome and manly. Mm-hmm. Three, we have a manly discussion, which is often the most manly discussion you've ever heard in your life. So that's what we do in the Catholic Man Show.
Hence why we have a warning at the beginning of the show.
Warning! Dealing with possibly toxic levels of manliness here. We don't want anyone to get hurt.
Right. Temper yourself.
Yeah. But if it does hurt you, you probably need to be hurt. Could probably use a beat down.
That's right. So like this first little segment that we do, we always open, review, and enjoy a man beverage.
And man, do we have a man beverage today.
Yeah, our man beverage today is brought to you by Mr. Stephen Houle.
St. Stephen Houle.
Yeah.
Get it right, dude. Get it right.
He is a Councilman member and a longtime listener of the Catholic Man Show. We're really excited because he's actually going to join us at the camp out.
Yeah.
Coming up. October 19th through the 22nd, we're having a camp out. Go to our website, thecatholicmanshow.com.
So excited for the camp out.
I'm pumped, dude. And I think we actually have like just a handful of spots open still.
So hurry.
Yeah, because we can't take any more.
Yeah, it's like a liability thing.
Yeah.
We're allowed so many people and no more. So, but 40 people, it's going to be a big camp out.
It's going to be pretty big.
It's going to be a manly camp out.
Yeah, so go to thecatholicmanshow.com. You have to register.
It's gonna be like a man pout.
It's the second slide, the big slides, the pictures, the second slide that you click on, that goes to the camp out. Anyway, St. Stephen Houle sent us this. This is a very big treat. Dave, I'll let you introduce it.
So this is the Laphroaig 18.
18 year.
18. Does it have a name beyond that?
No, it's just Laphroaig 18.
It's just 18. The 18. Well, I've never had it before. I don't know anything about it.
Okay, so
other than the fact that I know I want to drink it.
Okay, so I'll tell you just a little bit about it because I don't know a whole lot, but I do know a little.
And we have poured it and have not even sipped it yet.
No, not yet. Laphroaig, if you've been listening to the Catholic Man Show for a while, you know that Laphroaig is like, has a special place in both Dave and I's heart.
And in heaven, both.
I'm thinking
our hearts and in heaven.
Lafroig is one of our favorite scotches. Lafroig 18 is no longer being made. It is no longer being made. They stopped making it, I believe, the end of 2015, and because Lafroig 15 took its place.
Mm.
So there's a Lafroig 15 out there still, but it's normally a limited release each year.
Yeah.
Typically for the Friends of Lafroig, I believe. The 18...
I'm one of those.
Me too. Lafroig 18 was discontinued, so... there's only a limited amount of supply left. So if you find a Lafroig 18...
Buy it.
I would buy it.
Yeah, we're about to consume a piece of history.
That's right, because
we're about to destroy...
They're not making it.
Destroy some history, but it's a beautiful thing.
Yes, it is.
That's one of the things about beauty, is that you can't hold on to it.
So let's cheers. We're on cheers. The Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Cheers to Jesus.
You got to... Do something for St. Stephen. He gave us this.
Yeah, well, this is our regular cheese. I was going to cheers him separately, away from this.
Oh, away from it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's review it, and then we'll... that's what I was going to do. I was going to wait until...
Okay.
Until I got into it. Because maybe it's terrible, and...
That is not even possible.
I know. I was just trying to be ridiculous.
Mission accomplished.
Yeah, yeah. So what do you get on
the nose? So on the nose, there is smoke, but it's a leather... I get a leathery smell.
Yeah.
There's like this leather, wood, smoky smell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Very earthy.
You're right.
Okay, I'm going to take my first sip. I'm really excited.
Okay, go. Do it. And? Judges?
Hmm. So, it's... it's like a mullet.
Party, business in the front, party in the back.
The front does not hit you as hard as what like a normal Lafroig does, with the peatiness, and you know, smokiness. It doesn't hit you at
first.
Yeah,
you're right.
And then as the after hits
there it
in,
is. It's hitting me right now.
Yeah, the after hits you with that peat, the smoke, But there is almost like a sweetness at the beginning, a caramel taste, because it's very subtle. I mean, there's not a lot at the front, and then the taste at the end, the finish, that's what I was looking for, the finish.
Yeah.
Is very Lafroig-esque.
It is. Yeah, that's what I was going to say, is that it still has that classic Lafroig aftertaste, which for me is very big.
Mm-hmm.
If it didn't have that, I would be disappointed. But all the Lafroig I've ever had has this, you know, kind of aftertaste that it comes after you.
Yeah, but I'm telling you, I think it's like a caramel. Is it, like, do you get upset when people say caramel?
You know what? I just had this conversation yesterday with somebody.
Really?
They said caramel, and I was like, caramel. And I said, so you're a caramel guy. And they looked at me and said, what do you mean? And I was like...
The English dictionary came up with that for profiling purposes.
Like versus caramel.
Yeah.
And I get it. It's spelled caramel.
Yeah, I just like caramel. Anyway, I get that caramel, nutty almost taste at the beginning.
Yeah.
But at the end, it is very Lafroig. I wish that I had a full bottle, because I would love to try... multiple glasses over a, you know, month's time.
Yeah, me too. That's, you know what? That really is a thing. You know, you don't really know a whiskey until you've had it on several occasions.
Yeah. Because, yeah.
It's sort of like dating a beautiful woman. You don't really get to know her until you've spent time with her.
Or
you
like
know?
Reading good poetry.
In different settings. Yeah, like, exactly.
If you read good poetry, like you read it, you have to read it a couple times. And it keeps giving.
Someone just posted on our Council of Man page. I wish I remembered who it was, because I thought it was a good article about the origin of whiskey and how there is a lot of evidence pointing to the fact that it was monks.
Mike Hans.
Yes. Thank you.
Boom. Mr. Mike Hans.
The article was talking about how it looks like it may have been monks brewing whiskey.
Well, it was.
For the first time.
At least on record.
The article, yeah, on record. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The Lindor monks.
Mm-hmm. And some people claim, according to this article, that distilling whiskey began in Ireland. But most people say it was Scotland. That's what it said, as I recall.
So, anyway, it's a very... St. Stephen for sending us this, Laphroaig 18. It's very, very good. Any Laphroaig products, if you're a Scotch guy, if you enjoy the peaty Scotches, we highly recommend it. We don't get paid by Laphroaig, obviously, to say this. I wish.
Yet.
Yes. I know that there has to be somebody that knows people in Laphroaig.
We've sold we've sold countless bottles, no doubt.
Yes.
No doubt.
No doubt. Countless. So anyway, this is this is the first episode. Why we drink, Dave? Why do we drink on air? Besides that, we enjoy it. Like, we enjoy drinking.
Well, of course, you know, we like drinking. It's a manly thing.
In moderation.
You know, there's something about having a drink with somebody that you get to know them in a new way. It's sort of like sharing a meal with somebody. You know, some people say you don't really know someone until you've shared a meal. But also, we drink to exercise the virtue of moderation here on the show. It's something that is not present. It's not prevalent anyway in our modern culture. And so we realize it's easier, it's better to do than just to preach. So here on the Man Show, we always exercise moderation in our drinking, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, whiskey's good. It should be enjoyed for that reason alone.
Yes. And that's why we do it.
That's why we do it.
And that's the first segment of The Catholic Man Show. Time always flies. When we get back, we're going to jump into the second segment, which is the man gear of The Catholic Man Show. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass. Cheers to St. Stephen.
Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. I'm David Niles here in studio with Adam Minahan. We are drinking incredibly rare bottle. Not even a bottle.
No.
We have like kind of like one, really like, one drink that
we had 3 ounces basically.
Splitting between us.
Yeah.
Of some Laphroaig 18 given to us by St. Stephen Houle. St. Stephen. May your life and may your property and your lands be decorated in the glory of honor, and may it continue and follow you into the afterlife to be in heaven with God, our creator, forever.
Well, his land's not following him to
the afterlife.
Well,
I mean the honor. I meant the honor to follow him.
Okay, because you said things and honor, or things and land, and may it follow you.
They be covered in honor.
Okay.
And may it follow him.
Okay.
The honor.
Okay.
Because we're talking about...
Do you want to try that again? Or?
We're talking about honor today. Look, it's just impromptu, okay? I do my best.
Okay, so...
once again, it's always about the afterlife with St. Stephen.
It is.
Yeah.
We really...
I don't even try to do that.
It
just
really pushes death.
Yeah. Stephen, listen, man. Can't wait to meet you at the camp out. Like,
I promise he's not going to kill you or anything.
There's just something about it. Like, you're going to have, I feel like you're going to have a glorious death. Okay. I don't know why. It's just, I feel like maybe that's going to happen. So get ready for greatness, my friend.
Okay.
So, really hope something doesn't happen to him soon.
Okay. All right. Let's
off gracefully move away from that topic.
Yeah, I don't feel comfortable doing this anymore. Let's move on to the man gear.
Yes,
because this is what the whole second segment is supposed to be on the Catholic Man Show,
and it always is.
Not always.
You're right.
But
sometimes it is.
Sometimes it is. So Dave already hinted that we're going to be talking about honor today.
That's what we're talking about today. Honor.
That's our man topic.
Which is why I threw it into the. The toast.
Right.
Toast. The cheers.
Yeah, the toast.
Is it a toast?
I mean yeah.
Okay.
So we always, we typically like back end our way into the gear. Like we figure out what the topic is, and when the drink is always easy. But so we figure out, based on the topic, what should the gear be?
Right.
That's typically what we do.
We try to do it. Sometimes we just can't.
And so I was trying to bridge.
Do you mean to bridge it? Dude, it makes total sense to me.
Okay, go ahead.
The man gear today is a sword. Yeah, a sword, a flipping sword. Because what else says honor other than unsheathing a sword? Like, to me, that is what honor is all about. And that's all.
People get knighted with a sword. I didn't even think about that.
Dude, word.
I didn't even think about that till right now.
I didn't either. See, there's just something about a sword that is, you know, like your honor. Like, for instance, if you were going to duel a man, you wouldn't ever do it if he didn't have his sword.
If you had honor.
Right. Well, yeah, but because...
Or if you just wanted to live, you'd just do it and...
Oh, and just kill him?
In the duel very fast.
Yeah, if you're like a scumbag.
Yeah.
You scumbag.
I'm not saying I would. I'm just saying this
you
is
seem to be in favor of the idea.
No, this is hypothetical.
Okay.
En garde.
Yeah. All right, dude.
So, okay. So, what's your favorite sword,
dude? I'm a big fan.
You this article like
that had 10 swords.
That was like 10 or 30 minutes before the show started. I was like looking it up,
I didn't see it till I got over here.
Yeah.
My favorite sword is the. You know, crusader sword.
That's cross. Not what it's called, but
I don't know, but I don't know what you call those.
Right.
A long sword, a broad sword, I don't know.
Okay.
You know, it's like the very standard sword,
mm-hmm.
Except it's in the shape of a cross.
Mm-hmm.
When you hold it up, and they're pretty heavy.
Mm-hmm.
They were made, you know, at a time when armor
was a big deal.
So, you know, they had to be heavy enough and sharp enough and strong enough so that maybe they could pierce someone's armor.
Right.
I mean, and they weren't, I don't know how heavy they were, but they're pretty heavy. I've picked up replicas of them before, and it's like, wow, that would be exhausting.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe fighting one guy, you know, for like 10 minutes.
Not 10 minutes, dude. You're,
well, it depends,
way too much credit.
Depends on how good you are.
I guess.
Yeah. I mean, you ever watch Monty Python and the Holy Grail?
Mm.
They dispatch people pretty quickly.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying. But imagine like riding into battle with some like a whole army. I don't know how long that takes. Hours? You've got me. I've never done it. But at the end of it, you had to just be... I can only imagine like the last few guys on the battlefield.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It was probably... just not
brutal.
Yeah, like just imagine how exhausted you'd be, and you're like, but you still have to kill that one dude, or he's gonna kill you.
Yeah,
you know,
that'd be crazy.
Yeah. What's your favorite sword?
I would say the cutlass sword.
Describe the cutlass.
It's shorter and lighter.
Okay.
It's a lot of times pirates used it, because
I'm learning a lot about you right now.
Because like, you know, in small quarters, you couldn't be like hauling this huge 15-pound, 10-pound, whatever it is, sword.
Yeah.
You had to be quick and agile. And I just feel like in battle, I would be more of a quick and agile guy and not a Goliath kind of guy.
Okay.
And so that's probably...
So it suits your, just feel like it's a better fit for you.
For me.
You know, that's a good point that... You can't just...
Because you can't say, what's the best sword? Because every sword was made for a specific purpose.
Right. I mean, obviously, Excalibur is the best sword.
The Halo sword in Halo 2.
That plasma sword. That one's pretty sweet.
That was pretty sweet.
But how does it stand up against a lightsaber?
I don't know. That's a good question.
Some pretty sweet lightsabers out there if we want to throw those in the mix.
Okay, so there are a couple different... So if you have a sword and it's shiny, that means it's made out of stainless steel.
Yeah, so we've got a few minutes left. Adam, you deal with metal in your day job.
Correct.
So you sell metal.
Right. So you're
different
nerdy
in shapes.
In metal.
I'd rather you get a geek out on it.
Geek out on
it. Yeah.
Okay.
Geeks are cool. I think like nerds are not cool and geeks are cool.
Okay. Well, so if it's shiny, it means it's stainless steel, which does not mean that it is battle ready. It does not mean you should use it. It's a show sword. Stainless steel will not work. It will break and it is not something you should be battle ready with.
So you couldn't get a hardened steel.
Stainless steel is not something. No.
I mean, if it wasn't stainless steel, if it was like a legit sword out of real metal, you couldn't get it shiny.
Not to that like mirror type finish.
Okay. Okay.
A battle ready sword is made out of high carbon. High carbon metal makes the tensile. It means the tensile of the metal is harder. But you can't be too hard because that means it makes it brittle. So you have to have a perfect balance of hardness, and the tensile strength has to be, the yield and tensile strength have to be equal to the hardness.
So what you're telling me is that tensile's not just for Christmas trees.
That's right. That's right. So
for warriors too.
So like, you know, that's why the Viking swords were always like, it's very hard even for blacksmiths, like the best blacksmiths today, to replicate that metal because it was so high in carbon yet so durable, it wasn't brittle, that's why those swords were so great because of that material.
The problem with these swords that you're talking about, dude, is that they're terrible for the environment, okay? They have all these carbon emissions when you strike them.
I'm not going there with you. I'm not playing that game. I'm not even going there with you. So what they also have to do is, after the carbon steel, they heat treat it.
Mm-hmm.
So they heat treat the steel back, and that's what hardens the steel.
Okay.
A lot of valves and rings and things like that in the like oil industry all have to be heat treated because they need that hardness.
Have you ever sold any swords?
No, I've not.
Like, what if you?
I've sold an axe.
What if you went to?
But I've not sold swords.
Fireman axe, is that what it is?
Yeah, fireman's axe.
What if you went to your foundries that you represent and said, "Hey, we've got some guys. They want to do some swords."
I think that they would definitely do them.
I mean, like,
it's just a matter of then.
Would they know? Oh, I know how to make a sword.
Sure, because it's just a rod, and then it's machined. You don't like cast or forge the sword.
You get it hot and you pound it with a hammer, just like in the movies.
Well, yeah, you can do it that way.
I would want them.
You can do it with a hydraulic hammer as well. That would be easier.
Sure. Sure.
And then
I would prefer individual hammering.
Yeah, no problem.
If I was going to buy a sword,
I'd prefer hydraulic, but that's fine. and then you would have to have it machined. That's uh-huh. That's where the sharpness comes from and the shape of the sword, really.
So our buddy Ken Savath, he actually had a sword made.
Yes, he did.
Remember?
I do remember this story. Yeah.
And he had a guy. I don't know what the guy does for a living, but the guy built a forge
mm-hmm.
in his shop in order to make the sword.
Yeah, and he said he would never do that again.
Yeah, well, he said if he did it again, he would charge like triple what he actually charged.
Right.
But Ken has busted it out at mm-hmm. some of our meetings over there, and it's a legit sword. Like, it's sharp.
Yeah.
And when you hold that baby in your hand, you're like, yes. You could definitely chop limbs off.
Is there any virtue that we can tie to swords really fast before we go?
Justice.
Mercy and justice.
Yeah. Sometimes death is a mercy.
Oh my gosh. I don't know why this show has been so morbid. And I apologize to you, the listeners, for how morbid this show is. But we're going to talk about honor when we get back. Hopefully it will not be as morbid.
If we have any.
If we yeah. Hang in there. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass. What you're listening to right now. Welcome back. I don't know where you went, but I'm glad that you are back.
I've been here the whole time.
Yes, you have. Unless you've bi-located, which I would not have known.
That's for me to know and for you to find out.
I won't. Yeah, maybe I will someday. listen, we're going to talk about honor today. That's something that I think, like, Dave, that was kind of like your thoughts to say, you kind of came up with, hey, we should talk about honor sometime.
Yeah.
And I thought, that's a great topic because it's not really talked about all that much anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not something even that you think about probably on a day-to-day basis. Yet we know that it is extremely important.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible mentions honor in many, many places.
Right.
And so I was trying to think about, what I could say about honor.
Okay.
Because I know that you have a lot of things, which is good, because I don't. But,
we'll see about that.
I was thinking, everything, like, all of the issues that we have in this world really come back it stems back to one thing, but it starts with, authority and the lack of acknowledging authority, and that, which is also pride, because you're saying like, oh, I don't have to listen to that authority of whatever that authority is.
Sure.
I'm making the calls. I can do it myself. And so honor, I think, also has to do with, if you're dishonorable, that I think that has to do with a lack of authority, like placing the honor of the authority into that person, because it could be honoring your father and mother. It could be honoring a specific code. It could be honoring other people. It could be honoring yourself. It could be honoring, obviously our Lord.
Yeah.
There's a lot of different ways you can honor things.
Right.
But anytime that you are dishonorable, I think it has to do with a lack of understanding authority.
Yeah.
Or a prideful act. Yeah, what are your thoughts on that? Is that right?
Yeah, So honor is kind of a chameleon of a word that it takes on different meanings, different circumstances, and it means something slightly different today than it did a long time ago. Or at least there is an element of its meaning that has been lost today. Honor today, one synonym for it would just be integrity. If you're acting with honor. Today, people would say, you have integrity if you have honor.
Okay.
So there's another sense in which you say you honor your father and mother, so you show them respect.
Mm-hmm. Or of high, and then you can do it with the Lord, of high esteem or something like that, maybe.
Yeah, exactly. There's a lot of different angles, a lot of different ways to approach this.
Right.
I started thinking about this because I was just thinking about that stereotypical scene in a battle where there's like...
Which is why we also did swords.
Right, yeah. And there's something about a sword and your honor. You would never... Back in the day when men had honor, that's what I'm saying. Like, they would never, in a duel, if someone dropped their sword, they would, of course, allow them to pick it up.
Right.
Because they might be trying to kill them, but they would... Of course, their opponent is an honorable man.
Right.
As am I.
Mm-hmm.
And we fight to the duel to maintain and preserve our honor. And I will allow you to die with yours.
Mm-hmm.
Like there was that.
Right.
That's,
I agree.
That's what a manly quality. Like, even though you're my enemy.
Right. No, I agree.
So I was thinking about, that classic scene where there's the battlefield, the two armies, and there's the leader of the good army and he's rallying his troops. And, you could picture him just, after giving this emotional speech, saying "for honor" and charging,
very brave heart.
Yeah, exactly, something like that.
Yeah.
And so I was thinking, what is honor? Like, what do they mean for honor?
Mm-hmm.
So I was thinking about that, and so it was, it eventually got me to the question of thinking, is honor a virtue?
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't sure for a long time, and I thought about it. What do you think? Do you think honor is a virtue?
Well, anytime that you ask me this, or anybody asks me this, Father Pratt, in one of our episodes, we talked about virtue.
Yeah, and how do you know what's a virtue and what isn't? Because I asked, is practice a virtue?
Right, and so he always, he said that you can't, if it is a virtue, you can't take it too far.
No, not only the theological virtues cannot be had in excess. You can, right. The other virtues can be had in excess.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, the theological virtues, you cannot overdo, but the others you can. Which is why I need prudence to help you moderate the other virtues.
Okay.
Because you can take mercy too far and it ends up violating justice. So he said practice isn't a virtue because you could practice something
bad. Yeah, you know, so you can honor something bad, I guess.
That's kind of what I was thinking too. And you know, once again, honor comes in different forms. You can be receiving or giving honor. Mm-hmm. So of course, if you're receiving honor, if you are an honorable person, to be honorable isn't a virtue.
Mm-hmm.
An honorable person is simply one who values who is virtuous.
Right.
So because you are virtuous, you have honor, but you don't do honor. You know, so
right.
Honor isn't, you know, we defined virtue as something like the habit
of doing good.
Yeah, the habit of doing something good. It's not just doing it good, but having the habit of it. You can't have the habit of honor.
Well,
of being honorable. I mean, because
you could develop the habit of honoring your father and mother.
Yeah, but you know, that's like
I don't know.
So maybe in that sense, honor could be a virtue, if you in that limited sense, you know, like as into.
Because it's definitely something that you have to learn. I mean,
show respect.
When you're you know, raising a child, you don't raise them, you know, you have to tell them, no, that's bad. Like, a lot of times they inherently do things bad. Like, you have to tell them, like, no, you can't do that.
Right.
You know, and so they have to learn to continue to do the right thing because that's what my father and mother said, which is how I'm honoring them.
Okay, yeah. So actually, yes. So what my first point was that about receiving honor.
Right.
That is not a virtue because you don't to receive honor isn't a virtuous thing. You receive honor because you are virtuous.
You merit honor.
It's because of your virtues that you have honor. Someone who lacks in virtue lacks in honor.
Okay.
And so to receive honor is not a virtue. To give honor could be virtuous. But I'm still not convinced that honor is a virtue, unlike temperance. Temperance cannot be used. You can't be temperate in a bad way. You know, like you can't, like I could honor something evil. I can't temperate something bad because to have temperance means to use the things in the right. So if it's something mm-hmm. bad, if it's a bad thing like drugs, temperance says you don't use that at all.
Right.
So temperance is a virtue.
Mm-hmm.
Honor, you could, you know, it doesn't have that self. You know, like temperance mm-hmm. has a check on itself.
Mm-hmm.
Honor doesn't. So I'm not sure that honor is a virtue, but still, it's widely regarded as a good thing, obviously,
mm-hmm.
Depending on what you honor. And, you know, that would say a lot about your values if you're honoring something bad.
Right.
Which kind of comes back to the receiving end.
Mm-hmm.
That...
Because it's a circle.
That your virtues... are what determine your honor. So the virtuous man does not honor the evil thing.
Mm.
So one who has honor will only give honor to that which is honorable.
Okay. I follow that line of logic.
Okay.
So I was thinking earlier today, like also, okay, so what is something like, how do you practice this in the workforce or something like that? And the first example that I came up with that popped into my head, and I don't know why I want to share this, but this is what came into my mind. So,
okay, yeah.
Welcome to my mind.
Thank you.
Is how in college football these days, all the college football, like a lot of college football coaches, cheat to recruit players.
Mm.
You know, and that's not an honorable thing, but
no.
It's because they're trying to win. You know, because I have to get this better player than this team. Because not only do you have to get the better player, but if you don't get him, then your opponent
gets them. Right.
So it's a two. So like, there's so many coaches out there these days. Like in coaching, it's a very honorable profession.
Right.
A lot of people's lives are shaped by their coaches. But there's a lot of coaches out there, especially in college football, who don't. They think that they're honoring the program because they're trying to win. But in the process, they're not honoring them because they're violating the rules of the NCAA by recruiting the wrong player, recruiting players illegally. And like, so it's almost to the point now where if, like, for instance, Ole Miss in 2012 or whatever, they had the best recruiting class.
Yeah.
And out of nowhere, okay. Ole Miss comes and has the best recruiting class. Well, everybody said instantly, the first thing was, well, he cheated.
Did he?
Well, turns out this summer, we found out, yep, he cheated. You know, so it's like anytime somebody does so good in a recruiting class, or anytime, you know, in the work field in and of itself, somebody does something so good, your sales guy, you know, knocks it out of the park and does two times the sales of what, you know, the goal was, your first thought is almost like, well, how did he do that? Did he cheat?
Yeah.
You know, isn't that weird though? Because that's not the honorable thing to do.
Right. Yeah. That's what I was going to say, is that that shows a lack of honor in you, because
right.
the honorable thing is to always give the benefit of the doubt.
Right.
Of course, a healthy dose of suspicion is appropriate where right. prudence dictates.
I mean, St. Paul even said that.
Did he?
Yeah. I mean, he talked about...
Oh, yeah. Test all things. Hold on to what is good. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Okay. So anyway, I don't know why I wanted to bring up the college football coaching, but like...
Well, I'm glad you did, because sports teams are one of the few authentic honor elements left in society. So we'll talk about that when we get back from this commercial break. I'm David Niles, here with Adam Minahan. You're listening to The Catholic Man Show. We're on the Lord's team, the winning side, so raise your glass. Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. I'm David Niles, in studio with Adam Minahan. We're having an honorable conversation about honor. My brothers, hold it the greatest sin to prefer existence to honor, and for the sake of life to lose the reason for living. That's the way a lot of people felt back in the day, that if you didn't have honor, if you didn't have your honor, then you did, there was no reason to continue living. I mean, that's really how seriously people used to, men in particular. Mm-hmm. There's something about honor that it's something almost exclusive to men. Women didn't. I mean, they had honor in the way that they had dignity, but from a cultural standpoint, men carried honor, where women carried poise and, you know, like elegancy and other good things. I mean, this is just the culture of the time back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
And we've really lost that. I think there's something that maybe in some parts
okay.
that we took it too far. You
okay,
know,
well,
like,
here's the deal. I think it comes back. And I think this is kind of what I was driving home before the break. With, we've gotten to the point where you want to win so bad, or you want to exit, like stay alive, or whatever the situation is, so much so that you're willing to do whatever, at all costs, whatever it takes to do that.
Yeah.
Like, you know, for instance...
Sacrificing your honor.
Absolutely. Like, yeah. You know, when, I can't remember the guy's name, but whenever he, when the Titanic was sinking and he jumped into the lifeboat, over, you know, it was for all women and children, and he jumped into the boat.
Mm-hmm. In the movie.
No, this is in real life.
But it's also in the movie.
I think so.
It's in the movie, yeah.
He was named the most cowardice man on the planet, you know, whenever he got back.
Yeah.
Because it's like... Everybody, you're going to put yourself ahead of all the women and children on the boat?
Yeah.
You know, how cowardly of you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, especially at the time.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so...
So it has to do something, I think, at least in this day and age, with honor. It has to do something with this cutthroat mentality of dog-eat-dog world that we live in.
Well, I think it's maybe the other way. It's because we've lost honor that we've... We now have this cutthroat world where people are willing to break the rules, you know, because honor is sort of the summation of the virtues that are present in a person. So like we said, if you have the virtue, if you are virtuous, if you live that life
mm-hmm.
dedicated to virtue,
mm-hmm.
to honesty, and integrity, I mean, those two things really are important for honor. If you're not honest,
mm-hmm.
then your honor is... non-existent. But you brought up sports teams, okay? Because I wanted to go there in some of the time we have left. There's
okay.
two types of honor. There's horizontal honor, which is spread among peers.
Okay.
And then there's vertical honor, which would be given to like a king or a president, you know, someone who is in a position of authority, or your boss, even.
Mm-hmm. Parents.
And Thomas Aquinas talks about this honor specifically. The vertical honor. I didn't have time to read all of his articles on honor.
I mean, come on, dude.
I know. He writes a lot of stuff. The reason why honor is due, he says, primarily it's due from an excellence in someone, but not necessarily. It could just be because of their position. Like you would give honor to your parents because of their representation of God, because ultimately the honor is due God.
Mm-hmm.
And because your parents represent in some capacity the authority of God, mm-hmm. that they share in that honor, okay, in that hierarchy of values, okay. So that's vertical honor. So even if a king is a bad king, by virtue of his rank, his position,
mm-hmm.
he still deserves honor,
right?
To be treated honorably. Now he might have squandered his own honor, and he might not be an honorable person.
Mm-hmm.
But as honorable, you know, people under him,
right?
You should still show him honor, even though he might not be honorable himself.
Right.
So that's vertical honor. And I think that one is less important. Well, I don't know. I shouldn't say that. It's not less important because if you lose, you know, that is tied so much with authority, which is a big deal.
Yeah.
But a horizontal honor among peers is also not really the same as what it used to be, because, you know, like we were talking about earlier, the duel.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't, you know, one duelist wouldn't kill the other until he let him pick up his sword.
Mm-hmm.
But the football analogy, I think, is one of the, you know, like football and the armed forces. Mm-hmm. It's one of the few areas where I think this more authentic honor still exists. Like in Remember the Titans, the coach's rule, the movie, Remember the Titans, he said, I don't cut any player. If you show up to practice, you know, you won't ever get cut.
Mm-hmm.
And that is like, so if you're here and you're working, even if you're not any good, if you're here and you're putting in the sweat and tears like everybody else, then you deserve the honor of wearing the uniform alongside your brothers. Now, you might not play,
mm-hmm.
but that's okay. You know, you still deserve, you're worthy of the honor. And if shame cannot be present, if failing to live up to the honor doesn't bring shame, then this type of honor doesn't exist.
Wait, say that one more time.
So, like, one of the tests, you can say, like, does this authentic honor exist here in this brotherhood we have?
Mm-hmm.
If shame is not the result of failing to live up to the honor, like, if you just didn't show up for practice, you showed up and you just don't care, like,
right.
I'm just walking around, everybody else is working hard, I don't care. If that doesn't make you feel shameful,
mm-hmm.
then honor is not present in your team.
Okay.
Because to fail in honor is to experience shame. And so that is important, that everybody upholds each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's almost like a mutual respect. Like, you better do it because I'm counting on you. You're counting on me. And if you don't do it, man, you know, so mm-hmm. it's up to the mutual brotherhood.
So let's bring it to a community level. Like,
okay.
Let's bring it down to not sports, but just a community. Because I think that everybody is born with the right of dignity and honor as a human being.
And that's true. St. Thomas Aquinas would agree with you.
Okay, good. That's a good team to be on.
Good place to be, right?
Yeah, great place. And I think the Catechism says something like that as well.
Okay.
So another great place to be.
Okay.
Agreeing with them.
Yeah.
So in order for, like, that's why I think that status or whatever sometimes gets so easily perverted, because we all got to remember that we're all part of the human race. You know, we're all children of God.
Mm-hmm.
I guess if you're baptized, you're all made in the image and likeness of God. You're a child of God if you've been baptized.
Right.
You know, so as a human, like, it doesn't matter if they're poor or they're rich, you have to treat them with honor and dignity.
Correct.
Right. So, I mean, that would be, so I think that regardless, you're born with this. So, you know, it doesn't matter if they're here, they're living, you know, they're showing up to quote unquote practice, like your analogy.
Yeah.
So, like, you have to treat them with honor and dignity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, absolutely. And it's kind of like that mutual honor of the football team used to exist among communities.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's why the duelist wouldn't kill the opponent.
Right.
Because even though you aren't on my team, I still have respect for you.
Right.
And the ironic thing is that if you won't pick up your sword, and I'm like, Adam, if we were dueling,
mm-hmm.
and you wouldn't pick up your sword after dropping it. It's almost like you disgrace me.
Right. Yeah.
Because you have now deprived me
of winning.
Of this victory. And you know, it's like now all of a sudden I realize I'm fighting a coward.
Right.
Which brings dishonor on me.
Right.
Which is just fascinating, you know, that.
Yeah, that is. Know, I mean, that's such a weird thought process.
It just doesn't
these
even
days.
Almost make sense.
Right.
To our modern mind.
Let's bring it to today. Okay. On like how to be an honorable man today.
Okay. Be an honorable man today is the same as it always has been. Live the virtues. I mean,
I think it's very easy to do that. I think it's very easy to spot an honorable man.
Uh-huh.
Because they're sticking out with, like, in our society today, if you're living with virtue, you stick out like a sore thumb.
Right.
I think every guy in here can think, oh, this man right here is an honorable man.
Mm-hmm. I agree. So a gentleman, you know, you mm-hmm. want to be a gentleman. And where do you start? Because there's a lot of virtues.
Right.
And you can't perfect them all at the same time. But you can perfect one and that will lead you to the perfection of the others.
Obedience.
Or you can try to start perfect them. You know, you might never perfect the virtue. I would start, obedience would be a good one. You know,
that's one that keeps, it keeps everything once you have all the other virtues.
Yes. Yeah. Obedience to the right people, mm-hmm. you know, but I would start with honesty and chastity.
Okay. Those are good ones.
Just because I think those are two. That are not necessarily, I mean, I think those are two that our society needs today. Obedience, I think people more or less can follow orders. Not always. I mean, certain people, definitely not. Some people have a real problem with authority. But if you have a problem with authority, start with obedience. But in general, I think if you are an honest, chaste man, people will see you as an honorable man. Honesty.
It has to do something with like your word, right? The man's word, like your word,
exactly.
It has to mean something.
Exactly. I was supposed to buy something on Craigslist from a guy last week, and he and I were supposed to meet on Monday. He had to postpone it,
mm-hmm.
and then in the meantime, he sold it to somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I was just like, I was so mad
right.
that he did that. Not because I didn't get to buy the grill, but because he dishonored me. Mm-hmm. By not being honorable, sort of like the duelist in
right.
a situation. And it just made me think, like, what lack of integrity, what lack of honor that person had for doing that. And I understand, like, Craigslist, we didn't have a contract. You know, I don't right. want to blow it out of proportion.
Right.
But still, the fact that he and I had said, you know, like, we had given our word to each other. I'll give you money. You'll give me this.
Mm-hmm.
I felt let down.
So there's honor. That's what we did. St. Stephen Hool, thank you so much for sending us Lefroy 18.
Delicious.
That was the man drink today. We just talked about swords and honor.
And honor.
I dubbed the knighted David Niles.
May we all die with honor.
Cheers to Jesus.